Let's go ahead and talk to All That Amar of SLC Dunk. He's been running the stats on the Jazz's offense using the Synergy Sports tool, and there are some interesting conclusions that he came up with. So first of all, Amar, are you there?
Yes, I am.
Cool. Well, it's good to have you on the show.
Oh, it is definitely my pleasure, and I love listening to you guys. And I am just, you know, going to be quite quiet because, you know, you guys just know so much more than I do. So I'll try my best to keep up.
Well, it doesn't look like that with the articles you posted this weekend on, I guess it was Tuesday, on how the Jazz offense is doing. So first of all, let's kind of back it up and look at this historical perspective of how the Jazz's offense has changed from the Jerry Sloan days to the Ty Corbin days to now. I think there have been three very different, very unique systems that those coaches have run. What are the changes on the floor that you're seeing and that the stats show?
Well, over the last 10 years, we've looked at, you know, straight-up flex offense, the type of offense that we all grew up watching, you know, passing, cutting, pick and roll, guys moving without the ball and getting rewarded with the ball. And because of personnel and because of the way that, you know, things went, when Jerry had said goodbye, we went to a more of a post-oriented offense where people were standing and watching. There were some tweaks to that, but, you know, and to the credit of the general manager and what we were trying to do, we were trying to compete. And when you got a guy like Big Al, if you're not giving him the ball, you're not using him correctly. So I kind of understand that, but we don't have a guy like that. You know, you can't post up Rudy Gobert 10 times in a row.
Right.
So Quinn Snyder's
why not?
Defenses, well,
I'm joking.
Okay, well, it works in 2K. I don't know if you guys.
So let me, but, like, how big of a difference is this? I guess I should have let you finish, but how big of a difference are these two or three systems in terms of just how efficient and, you know, in terms of the kinds of shots that the Jazz are taking?
Well, I think that we can't divorce the efficiency at all from the personnel and the coaching style. Like, you know, Darren Williams running with Melo, that's a completely different system than what we have right now.
Right.
And I think the idea was that it was more of a 1960s, 1970s offense that the Jazz used to run. The emphasis was on getting the best possible close shots. Today, with what Quinn Snyder's doing, he's coming from a completely different system. He's studied under the best. He's been an assistant under quite a few great offensive coaches. And what the Spurs do is what we're trying to do. The best possible shot is the most open shot, as opposed to the best possible shot is, you know, Matt Harpering flailing to the rim or something. So it's all about getting open shots. You know, it's going to be Dennis Lindsay's job to get guys who can make those.
So what have you, now that we've got the more modern, if you will, the Spurs-esque Quinn Snyder system that's come into play, what are some of the specific changes that you've noticed that maybe that the Synergy numbers tell us?
Oh, well, for one, it's all about getting people the ball in some sort of movement. Like, there is the idea of moving the defense away from where you are so that there becomes this vacuum for another player to get into. And we're seeing a lot more pick-and-roll action as a result. You know, the last few years, pick-and-rolls were kind of down. I would have liked to see more of that. In most of the Jerry Sloan data that we have, they were not necessarily running a lot of pick-and-roll either because there was no John, there was no Carl. So what we're seeing right now is probably, like, what the new NBA wants, because if you watch any game, every team is running pick-and-roll almost every third play. But it's kind of like a look at what we were doing before, we being the Utah Jazz. So it's exciting for me to see that. I like the pick and roll. It seems to be working, especially when you have big men finishers like Cantor or Gobert or Booker or Jeremy Evans or this other guy. I don't know. Derek Favors.
He's all right.
Beast mode.
Yeah, no, that's a good point. So I'm curious, too, and then you also kind of looked at the individual players and how they fit. And kind of the relationship between getting touches and then actually performing well on the floor. So you broke them up into tiers, and like an excellent tier and a very good tier. What were the differences, and how did you see the Jazz kind of shaking out within those rankings?
Okay, yeah. Well, these tiers are actually the tiers used by Synergy themselves, and that's their percentile rank compared to the rest of the NBA. So it's not me arbitrarily saying that, oh, well, you know, maybe Alec Burks isn't that bad. It's actually the data showing that. So what I found interesting was the people who are taking the majority of our touches, if you will, on offense are actually doing really well with it. So it validates not just the X's and O's, but also what's happening on the court. You know, the guys who should be producing are producing. And I think that's exceptional, especially when you look at the fact that, you know, we're a very young team. A lot of people don't expect that well. But they are. They're a very good offense when it's clicking. The other thing that was really interesting were players who are not necessarily getting a lot of touches are still efficient. And that's something which is a hallmark of Terry Sloan teams, and it's nice to see that come back.
Very nice. And I think that's kind of a, if you will, a cream rises to the top type of situation, because as we know, the system that Quinn Snyder's trying to insert here is one that, as you said, the best shot is the most open shot, and that spans the entire roster. That's not that there are certain players that shouldn't be shooting. You want everybody involved, and the fact that the better players on the ones you'd perceive as the better players on the Jazz roster are the ones who are rising to the top with the best efficiency anyway, I think kind of proves the effectiveness of the system. Now, I do have one question for you from your article, and this is one of these things where the numbers that I'm seeing are just completely 180 reverse from what my eye test is telling me, and I want to figure out kind of where I'm going wrong on here, like what's up with my eye test, and that is the transition points. Your article notes that the synergy information tells us that in terms of a per-possession attempted efficiency, the Jazz are the best team in the league in transition, but I mean, my brain exploded when I saw that stat, because when I watched the Jazz, I would have instinctively put them in the bottom five for that category. Trey Burke has not been very good at running the break in transition. He always tries to finish, as we know, never passes out of it, and is not a very good rim finisher. Joe Ingles has a ton of issues there, too, and it really is a microcosm for the whole team. The whole team has been really, really bad finishing in transition. Do you have any kind of nugget for me that can explain this for me so I can understand? Is it maybe the fact that the Jazz are pulling out of many transition opportunities early and therefore Synergy isn't classifying them as transition opportunities? Or am I just really bad at watching basketball?
Well, no, my brain exploded as well, because I came to the same idea. Like, the eyeball test tells me that, you know, how can we be this good? Because Trey Burke is messing it up every single time.
Mm-hmm.
But what it is partly, yes, that they do go out in transition, but because they cannot get anything, they have to, you know, circle back and set up an actual play. But the interesting thing is that out of every single person who's played for the Jazz this year, the only ones who are bad at transition are Elijah Millsap and Trey Burke. Trey Burke is listed as below average, and we've discussed that. Everybody else is excellent and very good at finishing.
I guess it must be just me seeing the fact that emphasizing the mistakes that Trey is making more largely than I am giving positives to the good plays that other guys are making. Although, my mind is still kind of blown on this, because I see this every game. It's one of my biggest nitpicks. I tweet about it constantly, about how the Jazz have chances to attack a numbers advantage and either A, don't attack it, or B, just attack it with this awful timing and don't get a bucket out of it, which is just kind of unacceptable. And as we speak in this game, they're getting destroyed in transition by Milwaukee. And that's not because the Jazz aren't finishing. It's because Milwaukee is getting a ton of turnovers and coming back down the court with numbers advantages and capitalizing.
I agree. And the other thing is the fact that Utah just doesn't go into transition enough. Mm-hmm. A product of that is the fact that they're not playing defense enough to get a transition opportunity. So it's kind of like a small sample size. It's only about 12% of all their offensive plays are listed as transition plays.
Is that a very is that a very low percentage league wide? Like, do most teams have a higher percentage of their finished plays in transition?
Most of the playoff teams do.
Okay,
so it's more indicative of the fact that this is a team that can't defend, and as a consequence of that, they are behind the curve in how much they get into transition. But Trey Burke aside, they should be solid. As it says, they're actually the best team in transition, according to the data that I have, which is up to game 40. I haven't looked at it today. So,
yeah, I think that's an interesting thing where the stats can kind of show us, kind of tell us more than the eye test almost.
Mm-hmm.
Tell us that, you know, sure, the Jazz aren't pushing it a lot, but they're being efficient when they do.
Mm-hmm.
I'm curious, one last question before we have to let you go, is that your conclusions using the synergy data on the Jazz's defensive side of the ball. How are they ranking this year in terms of the different sort of plays that they are allowing?
Well, I guess that's it. It's the defense is always going to lag behind, and defense has always been a troubled spot for the Jazz, even in the Stockton Malone years. We need to learn how to close out better, because that's the number one place where we were getting killed. The other thing, the surprising thing that blew my mind, was that Utah is getting beaten up in the paint on post-ups. And I think that we see this too, that if there's a big guy who can bump Gobert out of a defensive stance, then he could make some space and get a shot off. That's something that Rudy's going to get better at, but, you know, that was crazy to me to think that we were getting eaten up on post-ups, but we are.
No, I think that makes sense. I mean, the Jazz's big men, to me, aren't spectacular one-on-one defenders.
No. And that's a complaint I've made with Favors a couple of times, is that when they've been played him at center, which they still have a lot, even though Gobert has emerged, he's getting beaten up by those guys down low. So I think that intuitively actually does make a little bit of sense.
Yeah, and I also think it's interesting that the Jazz aren't contesting the open jump shots. That's something that we've heard from Quinn Snyder time and time again, that for whatever reason they're not finishing their play defensively by making a contest. You know, kind of the more intelligent hand-down, man-down from Quinn Snyder, if you will.
Well, I kind of have an idea on that, and that's, again, a mixture of all the available resources that we watch. We watch the games and we look at the stats. It's the fact that the Jazz defense has to commit, because we don't have strong enough perimeter defenders, and that creates that domino sequence of having someone inevitably be open. So hopefully with this Trey Burke and Dante Exum thing, if we can get better perimeter defense from our starters, perhaps that means there's less of a need for defensive help, and as a result, less open guys.
Makes a lot of sense. All right, so thank you so much, Amar, first of all, for giving me the opportunity at SLC Dunk when I first started. That was a big deal. But then thank you again for coming on the show. I really appreciate it, and you do a lot of great work over there, so thanks again.
Oh, it's my pleasure. Your brilliance would shine anywhere.
It's true.
Well, thank you.